I have been model. Continue the session on Gaurakatha and the absence of more competent speakers and push to the fore. Only once in my school life I stood first in my class when four students who had first, second, third, fourth rank left the school. And I would have gotten fifth rank, became first. So something similar has happened today. Those whose names were earlier on the list, they are busy doing some service. So I would beg your indulgence and forbearance. Please forget me. Once Sri Chandramouli Swami Maharaj was explaining, when there are so many literatures on the life of Lord Chaitanya, why Srila Prabhupada chose Chaitanya Charitamrita? And some of you may be familiar with this book also, the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. The treatment Srila Prabhupada gave for Krishna Katha, 10 cantos, of course Prabhupada wanted to translate the full Bhagavatam, we could go up to 10.13, Lord Brahma's Vimodila pastimes. But Srila Prabhupada also would say, I have given everything in the first canto itself. Everything else is a further elucidation, further description of what he has given. But Chaitanya Charitamrita
finished 17 volumes in 18 months. A rare feat in the literary world. And he had also given this book, The Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, in one volume. Why is it important for us to understand Lord Chaitanya's personality? Just because it is unique, just because it has different kinds of pastimes which we have never heard before. Just to give you a brief idea, Chaitanya Bhagavat deals more with his childhood pastimes and not so much about Lord Chaitanya's Siddhanta. Not to say that he doesn't have Siddhanta, but the kind of treatment which Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami has given, that is very, very elaborate. So Srila Prabhupada, as Chandramouli Maharaj was explaining, he gave the full Chaitanya Charitamrita with purports. Before that, his own guru, Om Vishnupad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, had given this Anubhashya commentary on Chaitanya Charitamrita. Before that, his father, Om Vishnupad Srila Sachidananda Thakur Bhakti Vinod, had given the Amrit Pravaha Bhashya, the commentary which flows like nectar, Amrit Pravaha. Now Srila Prabhupada had this task of taking the gist from Thakur Bhakti Vinod, his own guru, and giving it the kind of understanding which you and me in this age would understand. Prabhupada also lectured extensively on the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And in fact, if some of you would go ahead and read the book, you will find that it has a preface, plus a prologue, and then Lord Chaitanya's mission and introduction. A Otherwise, mostly this book deals with five very important dialogues, conversations. One was between Lord Chaitanya and Rupa Goswami. Now we have the book Nectar of Devotion. Another one is between Lord Chaitanya and Sanatana Goswami, Sanatana Shiksha. The third one is between Lord Chaitanya and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Then Lord Chaitanya and Prakashananda Saraswati. And the crowning glory of the Gaudiya understanding of what is the highest goal of life, Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Rai. Ramananda Rai is a Sakhi from one point of view. He is also Arjun. And just like Arjun was meekly hearing on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and Krishna was Krishna put into Arjun in the illusion of ignorance and then gave him instruction. In the Ramananda Rai episode, it is reversed. Ramananda Rai is saying, you are putting me in the illusion that I know something and that you want me to speak, but you are the independent Supreme Lord. I am like a Veena instrument, stringed instrument. You are like the Veena Vadak. As you pull the strings, I'll make the sound. So Krishna is answering questions which are posed by Arjun in the Bhagavad Gita. And in the Ramanand Samvad, Krishna is asking questions and Arjuna is giving knowledge, which shows that Krishna's pastimes are, they are all rounded. If Krishna is taking one stance here, in some pastime he also takes the other stance just to perfectly round it up. There is a Upanishadic verse which says, Anor Aniyan Mahato Mahiyan. He is smaller than the smallest, bigger than the biggest. And he's also in between. That makes it all rounded, isn't it? So, I don't have much time, fortunately. We will take some passages from the preface. I like this part very much. And we'll try to elucidate based upon what nectar we are hearing, Gaur Katha which we are hearing. And maybe just to make it more interesting, if you have any questions, you can just raise your arm and we can discuss that if time allows. So this preface, as I said, is a series of lectures Prabhupada gave. Now imagine Prabhupada's setting. Prabhupada is speaking before a young group of hippies who have just stumbled on 26 Second Avenue. Most of them don't have any idea. They have not seen India. They don't know Bengal. And Prabhupada begins with Lord Chaitanya talking to Sanatana Goswami. So somebody writes in his diary, Sontan, S-O-N-T-A-N, because Prabhupada in his Bengali inflection would say Sonatan. And when Prabhupada, they had some kind of a print, it was Hanumanji on it. So one boy asked Prabhupada, is he a cat? Prabhupada said, no, monkey. I said, oh. Now who has heard of a flying cat or a flying monkey? But Prabhupada had one singular sterling faith which comes out when you hear his lectures, that Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem Sadhya Kabhu Noi Shravanadi Shuddha Chitti Karoya Ud. This is what the Chaitanya Siddha. Siddha is word, is a word used in the context of something being cooked. Siddha. That's a very first level understanding. Siddha later becomes perfected, ripened. So, Nitya Siddha, Krishna Prem is already ripened. It is already present. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem Sadhya Kabhu Noi. There is nothing to, in the sense of that term, like say Hatha Yoga, you cannot do pranayam, and after 6-7 months of practice you can actually reach at some level of pranayam practice. Now that's an achievement, that's a siddhi. Some people may show fantastic siddhis. They may float in the air, they may understand your mind. All these are called achievements. Or gyan, the ability to agitate your mind, remember so many shlokas, that's an achievement. Why does it say in bhakti yoga there is nothing to be achieved? Sadhya kabhu noi. The second line explains it. Shravanadi shuddha chitte. The moment you hear the word adi, it means and so on and so forth, and other things are also included. So shravanadi means shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu smaranam, pada sevanam, archanam, vandanam, dasyam, sakhyam, atmanimedanam. Everything together. Begin the process with hearing, as we are doing here. Shuddha chitte, when the chitta becomes pure, karaye udoy. That this udoy is applicable to Krishna Prem. When reading Prabhupada's books, at least in our classes here in the ashram, one devotee encouraged me to understand how can we see what we read in Prabhupada's books as a daily life occurrence. It sometimes helps us to bolster our faith. Do we have any experience of something which is Nitya Siddha? It is already there, full glory, but it just has to appear at a proper time. Correct. The sun is Nitya Siddha. It is always brilliant. On the sun, there is no setting sun, rising sun, or a dimmed sun. No, there are no clouds there. It is in its full glory. So it is always there. But when the night comes, it's like completely absent. So we in the material world are experiencing what some paths call the dark night of the soul. And Prabhupada challenges scientists, if you're so arrogant about your progress, why not make a searchlight so powerful enough that even at night time you can find out where this sun has gone, since it was there all day long, where it is gone now? You can't find it out. And the next day again you see the sun in its all its glory. So again, this helps. It is not an impossibility. So Krishna Prem is there in us. We just have to use Shravanam, Kirtanam, so on and so forth. When the Chitta becomes Shuddha, it karoye udoy. So that's why Srila Prabhupada's insistence on the chanting process. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. I'll just read something from the first para here. Prabhupada composed this in 1968 in New York on this tithi, the birthday of Lord Chaitanya. So it is blessed, especially. There is no difference between the teachings of Lord Chaitanya presented here and the teachings of Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. The teachings of Lord Chaitanya are practical demonstrations of Lord Krishna's teachings. what Lord Chaitanya did is what Lord Krishna spoke, to put it simply. What Lord Chaitanya did in his life is what Lord Chaitanya spoke in the Bhagavad Gita. Mat mana bhava. Keep your mind always in me. Mat bhakto. Bhaktaha. When you put it in Sanskrit syntax. Keep your mind always in me. Become my devotee. Mad yaji. Worship me. Mam namaskuru. Offer pranams to me. Mame vaishyasi. Invest yourself, invest your thoughts and everything in me. Live in me, mame vaishyasi. And you will achieve me without fail. In one lecture, Prabhupada made it very clear that when Krishna spoke on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, not everybody could understand what the dialogue was. In fact, those soldiers who had, I mean, we can make an intelligent guess. Those who saw what has happened, if they had survived the first day, they would have said, what was that going on before the battlefield? Something. Who knows? Maybe he was counting how many are on this side, how many on that side. Or whatever. They didn't come to know that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. Why is it so difficult to understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? His Grace Badri Narayan Prabhu was giving a class in Mayapur. He said he was on a morning walk with Prabhupada, 6-7 of them. And Prabhupada stopped. Prabhupada was a little bit ahead of them, stopped, looked back at them, and sort of sized them individually. And they were all devotees for some years, shaven up, some grihasthas, some brahmacharis or whatever. And Prabhupada looked at them and said, you are all atheists, I know that. Basically, you are all atheists. And then put his cane firmly on the ground, said, but I tell you, Krishna exists for real. Started walking again. So from one point of view, Krishna prema is there in us. And at the same time, we don't have faith that Krishna really exists. There is a fundamental reason why Krishna doesn't show himself so clearly. Why are we in this material world? Like most of us may say, I don't know. Ask my parents. What else can we say? But if you ask them, they might say give the same answer. I don't know why I'm here. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. The Shastras explain we are here because Icchā Dvesha Samutthena Dvandva Mohena Bharata. Icchā and Dvesh, two things, desire and hate. Desire for enjoying separate from Krishna. And hatred of serving Krishna. Now if we have such a double bulletproof kind of a kavach around us, how can Krishna consciousness penetrate that? Is it not? We have a deep desire to enjoy separate from Krishna. Now separate from Krishna means we don't want Krishna to be anywhere in the periphery. And that rebellious attitude, the other part of it is, we hate to serve Krishna. Because of that reason, Krishna also doesn't impose himself. Sometimes we feel, I wish he would have. Especially as devotees, we feel, please, Krishna, do this for me, do that for me. But actually we, in our own, again, some simple mundane example, if a person forces you to raise your arms with a gun in his hand and says, repeat, I love you. You might say, I love you. Okay. Can I go now? But you just said you love me. So why you have to go? If there is love, you wish to remain, you want to linger there for some more time. Anything you may love a prasadam item. You may say, take only two. So after two are over, you say, I don't think there are any devotees left here, so this will all go waste, isn't it? Now obviously, sorry to talk about prasadam, but time is approaching. Isn't this, I'm not talking high philosophy, isn't this simple truth that when you love, you wish the clock would stop? You wish it could be just some more time, whether it's a place or an event or a person or anything happening. So obviously this one forced love statement on gunpoint, and afterwards the answer that, can I go now, means there was no love at all. So how does someone understand Krishna when there is no love? So Krishna never forces himself. In the Ishopanishad, Prabhupada talks of Krishna is Swarat, is independent, he can do anything, whatever he likes. And he is the sun. If we are the ray of the sun, in quality we have to have that brilliance. Maybe small, minute, so small that it is practically non-existent, but it is there. So since Krishna he does not force his love on us, he doesn't also forcefully take that love from us. It has to be a willing gesture. It's like, Krishna, I love this, and this, but I love you more, so I'm giving you my heart. It's like, Krishna, I don't think I can love anything here, it's nothing left, so I guess I will love you. That's forced love. That's forced love. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur gives a humorous example. A Brahmana Pujari was given some lai, as they call it, loi or lai. What is it called in North India? Puffed rice. Lai? Not poa, but it is lai. Lai and batasa are given as a combination. Huh? Kheer? Kheel. Oh, okay. So he was given that. He was carrying that in his makeshift kind of a baggage. He had tied it up. Suddenly he stumbled. A gale came, a wind came, and all of it was just going away in the wind. So he said, oh, Keshwanma, Naranma, Madhavanma, Vamdanma. Let this all be offered to the Lord. Now why was that? As such, I can't eat that stuff. It's going to be a dirty, sullied anyway. It falls on mud. Who's going to eat that? I might as well give to Krishna and get some benefit. So, what is the big utility of offering your decrepit body, your dull intellect to Krishna when you are so old, you don't even understand whether it's day or night, what year it is, and then you say, oh Krishna, I am yours. Contrast this with Lord Chaitanya's life. At age 24, he took sannyas. He was in the prime of his youth. His wife was a goddess of fortune. He had friends, he had students. There were students who refused to go to any other teacher. They said, no. If it is Nimai Pandit who is teaching grammar, we want to learn from him. And he was so scholarly. I'll tell a small story. Lord Chaitanya was, as Nimai Pandit, he was going with a friend. And the friend asked him, how are things? Now, culturally, you have to understand a little bit about Bengal at that time. Any Nyayik, any scholar, any grammarian had the prestige of a IT software, you know, startup venture capitalist, or a rocket scientist, or a brain surgeon, or a heart specialist, whatever occupations are ruling the roots nowadays. A grammarian and a scholar would have that at that time, plus prestige, which they don't have today. Yeah, people say, oh, he only has money, he doesn't have that kind of a following. But there at that time it was following too. So Nimai Pandit said, I'm working on some grammar book. As soon as he said that, the friend's gaze turned towards, like he turned lower and said, oh, really? You are also working on a grammar text? So Nimai Pandit said, what happened? I actually was working on something, and I was hoping that if I advertise that, I could get some students and I can start my own school. So Nimai Pandit said, but would you like to see what I have? So he showed him. He went through those patras, those bhoja patras, wherever it is written. He said, if this is what you teach, who would come to my school? This is far, far better than what I could do. And the law said, is that so? He threw the whole text in the Ganga. Let your text be famous. Now, one Sanskrit scholar and a pandit, non-Gaudiya, he heard this story from Radha Govind Maharajji. He said, this is the Supreme Lord. Now, you and me don't feel like, oh, so what? I mean, he's good, he's gracious, he has a big heart. But why call him Supreme Lord? You don't know the ego awareness of somebody who's like a big scholar. Keshav from Kashmir, the Digvijay Pandit, when he was defeated by Lord Chaitanya, that whole night he spent was a sleepless night. And he was asking Mother Saraswati, why, Mother, why did you betray me? She said, me and betray you? You promised me, as long as I am alive, there will be no other scholar who could even stand up to me. So he said, that's true. He said, what true? This young grammarian, he doesn't understand poetry, he doesn't understand alankar. What does he know of other higher literary forms? And he defeated me. She said, "Who? You know who he is? He is my Lord. I cannot fully describe his glories." Saraswati is called Vak Devi. And a Sanskrit word is called Avak. That means you can't speak. She becomes Avak in front of him. So Keshav then told Nimai Pandit, you are the Supreme Lord. You know why? You could have had the full satisfaction of torturing me in front of your students, of stomping on my ego, shredding me to bits and pieces and then leaving me in the lurch. Go! Now you are defeated. But you didn't do that. You were so careful. So Lord Chaitanya doesn't defeat by force of logic or just by his... Lord Chaitanya's philosophy is not like a road roller just crushing all kinds of opposition into submission. Like once it has started, nobody can stop it. No, it's not like that. His weapon is his beauty. His personal beauty. And that's why it's a bit strange. When we see the avatar of the Lord, he comes with weapons. For those of you who come for our morning class, we are right now, we just finished Parshuram Leela, right? Still going on. It is the Parshuram Leela, the Lord's warrior incarnation. I mean, the very description of, you know, chopped limbs and his pursue, and after some time he gets tired. So instead of killing at the speed of the mind, he slows down and starts killing at the speed of the wind. He may say, what? And if it is a, why does the Lord kill? And that too with some kind of glee. He's not unhappy, he's not dissatisfied. So Narasimhadev has his chisel-like nails. We sing in our Narasimha prayers, Adbhuta Shrunga, is it not? Lord Ramchandra has his bow and arrow. But what does Lord Chaitanya have? Look at him, he's standing there. What does he have? His arms are raised. His beauty. In one sense, in Kali Yuga, these weapons are kept aside. It doesn't get any fun in killing Kali Yuga demons. In Hindi, they say, Marne wale ko kya marna? Or mare hue ko kya marna? One who is already dead, what's the fun in killing him again? Prabhupada's words were, tinny demons of Kali Yuga. Sometimes you would interchange tiny for tinny. So tinny demons. Although they are powerful in their own relative way, they may not have Hiranyakashipu-like body or intelligence or the will to do tapasya like him. Their weapons, they have their pen and their poison mind, and they can write books, many book after book, deriding the Lord or denying him. So this one thing which Nimai Pandit showed, that is the true meaning of mercy, compassion. So Krishna spoke so many things in the Bhagavad Gita. Is it not? The Bhagavad Gita itself is like a treatise which we will take a lifetime at least to understand it. Arjuna understood it in 45 minutes flat. That's all. He said, okay. How do you know he understood it? He could have just said, all right, it's a bit too thick for me, but like sometimes we may tell somebody, all right, I understand you. He said, no, you want me to stop speaking. That's why you are saying, I understand. The real test is, Arjuna said, sarvam etat ritam manye. Whatever you are saying, I take it to be the truth. And karishye vachanam tava. Two things are required to express that surrender. Whatever you say, I agree that is the truth. And I will do whatever you say. You may say, well, if Arjuna is saying, whatever you say, I will do. What was your earlier point about the Lord not forcing anything? Before that, Krishna has told him, yathe chasi tatha kuru. You may do as per your desire. So it is Krishna who first gives us this license. Do as you desire. We have to take that license and write on it, I will do as you please, and give it back to him. Then the transaction is complete. So this is the purport of Prabhupada saying, there is no difference between the teachings of Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita and the practical demonstration of those teachings in Lord Chaitanya's life. I remember a class where it was nicely delineated. Lord Chaitanya's name itself is Krishna Chaitanya, Krishna Consciousness. Is it not? His very name is Krishna Consciousness. And very, well, we can say shrewdly, but in a sweet way, shrewdly, he kept that Brahmachari name. His name, Krishna Chaitanya, was his Brahmachari name. After sannyas, the name changes. Namakaranam is a component of the sannyas ceremony. So he said, no, I am happy. That also came in handy when dealing with a big Raj Purohit like Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya. I'll just take one example about Krishna's teaching in the Bhagavad Gita. What is knowledge? Today, if you want to read about something, you want to know about something, you may say, well, go on the net. Is it not? Such a simple thing. Especially go to Wikipedia. It's like the best source of ready-made knowledge. By the way, the average Wikipedia editor is like a high school dropout between the age of 18 and 32, sometimes without a job. But since we can't see his face, we take whatever is coming on our screen to be the gospel truth. But real knowledge, as explained by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, has various components. And the very first is humility. So you may say, humility? Why this thing comes all the time in, especially it hits you where it hurts the most. Many times for almost all problems in spiritual life, your authorities may say, please be humble, Prabhu. Say, I am. And that tells the whole story. Now just see, Lord Chaitanya has come to Puri and he has his eye on Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who is a big Purohit. He could have just told him that, you know, I just defeated Keshav Kashmiri, you know, with my small pinky of my left hand a few months ago. So I would like you to come and meet me for a debate. He didn't do that. He didn't do any of that. He came before Jagannath and fainted. In fact, the guards at the Puri temple thought that there is some, all kinds of samples come to Puri for darshan and all kinds of things they do. So they thought there is again some cheap trick by someone just to attract some audience and take some donation. So they were about to beat him when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was there. He said, wait. He took a small cotton swab, took it near Lord Chaitanya's nostrils. They moved. He said, alive. He said, take him to my home. Now, Lord Chaitanya's weapon is his beauty, isn't it? So his beauty has already acted on Sarvabhaumacharya's heart. He's kept on thinking, he's very beautiful. He's very handsome. And he's a sannyasi. How odd. As if, you know, they have to be mutually exclusive. Not necessarily. But he said it's kind of dangerous. A sannyasi is not supposed to attract people based on his bodily beauty. It's discouraged. Don't wear opulent cloth. Don't wear fancy other gadgets. I mean, iPod is something necessary sometimes. Once I saw Jayadit Maharaj carrying his UPS, unlimited power supply in one hand, and some other cables. So I said, Maharaj, can I carry it for you? Kali Yuga water pot. So just like a sannyasi in those days had a kamandalu, had a stick. So he says, a laptop and a battery and a UPS and other things are like a Kali Yuga water pot. It goes wherever the sannyasi goes for preaching. So, I mean, that's his greatness that he could laugh at himself. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya brought Lord Chaitanya to his place, took special care of him, and sort of, after he had regained his composure, he said, Krishna Chaitanya, first question, what kind of name is this? Why not a nice sounding, high pedigree sannyas name? So he said, well, you know, who's your guru? Now at that time, that culture, this is a loaded thing. If you don't tell your guru comes from a very good pedigree, it's kind of demeaning. Like you may say, kahan se liya hai? Chor Bajar. Even if it's a good product, you feel, you know, why not from some popular mall or whatever, something. That's the shopping culture. So he asked him, what's your sannyas guru's name? He says, Keshav Bharati. He says, oh, Bharati. That's all right. I can fix it. Because the sannyasi's qualification rubs on the sannyas disciple also. So he thought Keshav Bharati is not such a... Like, you have to read this, it's very interesting. Aranya, Puri, Sagar, these are the kinds of sannyas names. Shankaracharya made them. And between them there are also higher and lower, you know, variations, like grades. So suffice to know that Bharati was not a very high on the list. So Sarvam Bhattacharya is offering him, I can fix it for you. So he said, please guide me. Imagine a sannyasi telling a grihastha, please guide me. He says, more than that, I don't know whether you know Vedanta or not. He says, little bit here and there, whatever I have heard. Not so much, I confess. He says, oh, that's not good. Plus, you are so young. You have a whole life in front of you. How will you survive as a sannyasi? No, I should do something about it. Let us sit. I will teach you Vedanta. He says, please. I'll be highly obliged if you could tutor me. Will you please agree to be my coach, my tutor? He said, very willingly. Not knowing who is the student and who is the master, Sarvam Bhattacharya treated Lord Chaitanya like anyone. And he was a great Nyayik, a logician himself. He had learned from Mithila. We can't estimate Sarvam Bhattacharya's intellectual prowess. He went to Mithila. At that time, no copying was allowed. I think today also it's not allowed, but it happens. But no photocopying was in existence. He went and learned thousands and thousands of verses by heart, came out of Mithila, repeated the whole thing, and that's how he could hack the sort of knowledge management software of Mithila at that time. No way, otherwise they would teach anyone. They say, you come here, learn, and you go. So when he came back, he became the most respected scholar, and he began to speak. The first day, he could see that this sannyasi is very alert. He likes to listen. Second day, same thing. Third day, he expected he would say, can I ask a question? No. 7 days went by. Now Lord Chaitanya had humility, an ocean of humility, plus an added ocean of patience. After that time, he could bear no longer. He says, Krishna Chaitanya, are you understanding what I am telling you? Or is it too much? If you think this is too high, I can go on some other lower level, please, but I want to see that you understand something. Now when he came to the platform of, please, let me know how I can serve you. This is the point where the Lord got him. He says, can I speak something? He said, yeah, of course, go on. Sanskrit I know well. He says, I know well that you know well. What's your problem? Vyasadeva's Sanskrit explanation is like the noonday sun on the top of your head. Noonday sun, as clear, as bright as the noonday sun. So he said, so? What's the problem? Your explanations are like a dark cloud which envelops that sun. Awak, remember? He could speak. He said, what? Now it is not like my explanation. I didn't manufacture them at my home. You are tarnishing the image of like thousands and thousands of sannyasis, gyanis, masters, logicians, and he was saying, look at his audacity. Like they say, you know, kal ka bachcha. Yesterday sannyasi, and now he's telling me my explanations are like a deep dark cloud. So he said, why don't you explain in your language then? If you're so proud. He said, all right. One by one by one. Lord Chaitanya talked of mukhya vritti. It's a technical subject. Mukhya vritti, gauna vritti. The main reason, the main explanation, and a subsidiary explanation. I know one example. I like that very much. Gangayam Ghoshapalli. A village on the Ganga. Ghosh is cowherd village. You're telling somebody, you have to come, like if you're in Yatra, come to this place and there is a village of cowards on the Ganga. So obviously, on the Ganga means on the banks of the Ganga. There can't be any village in the midst of the water, right? So Lord Chaitanya said, when some things are to be implied, that can be understood. But when something is direct, you don't need to give an explanation. And one by one by one, all the things for which Sarvabhauma stood for, he said, gone. This one gone. That one gone. So what is left now? And then he realized, it's my folly. I was not just simply mistaken, but I was proud into thinking that this kind of knowledge would save me. He was so shell-shocked, as they say, that whole night he could not sleep. The Lord said, okay, you now take a rest, we'll meet tomorrow. Next day the Lord went to see the darshan of Lord Jagannath, got some prasad, and he saw Sarvabhauma still there. He says, Sarvabhauma, would you like to take some prasad? He said, oh yes. The vague honored prasad. He said, what about your snan sandhya? What about your rituals? Now he's a full Krishna conscious person. Like a new bhakta, he says, you know, hell with it. All this ritualistic knowledge. I could understand obscure things, but the simplest things, as they say, the simplest thing like a nose on your face, you can't understand. And you understand so many other facts. And that's a problem with many other explanations of Bhagavad Gita. You exactly know what is Prakriti, you exactly know what is Mahat, you exactly know what is so many other things, but you don't know the goal of life. If you read the book and you say, nice book, what does it say? Let me read again. So what's the purpose? And Prabhupada is so accurate. The moment he seizes something, so this means surrender to Krishna. This means serve Krishna. This means chant Krishna's name. He tells it till his teeth ache, as they say. Or at least we say, all right, Prabhupada, I understand now. So no, I'll give you that plus some more. Why? Because that this age is about. The first thing which Kali will take away is this humility. Where there is humility, there can be no space for quarrel or hypocrisy. So then Sarvabhauma heard from Lord Chaitanya and then became such a glorious devotee. So Lord Chaitanya, he spread his message through the medium of Krishna Prem, giving Krishna Prem. I'll stop here. But just one last concluding point. Krishna spoke the Gita and talked of surrender. What that surrender means, how you do it, Lord Chaitanya explained that. So therefore, Krishna said, surrender to me first. I'll check your surrender. If it is approved, then you'll come and I'll train you up. But Lord Chaitanya Rupa Goswami says, even before you surrender, he gives you Krishna Prem. is like a customer being told by the manufacturer, you are my customer. He said, I haven't purchased anything from you yet, but you are my customer. Take this free sample. Like it? Stand in line now. So similarly, Krishna would be a very discerning kind of person. You have money? Real money? Properly accounted? Give me the papers, give everything. All right, now you are capable. But Lord Chaitanya, looking at the plight of and the misery of people in this age of Kali, he doesn't demand surrender first. He says, you come, taste surrender. The simplest process is to chant, dance, take Krishna Prasad, especially chanting the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare. Even if it is done as an experiment, even if it is done without any faith, you don't require any faith, you don't require any humility for it, just do it. And Prabhupada promises our lives will be sublime. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. All devotees are kindly requested to collect their prasadam coupons at